Well, do keep that passage in Matthew's Gospel open, and let's pray as we prepare to look at it together. Living God, you welcome us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us by your Holy Spirit to be those whose whole lives speak of your goodness and truth, and who walk in the way that leads to the glory of the kingdom. Amen. Well, earlier in the year, while down in Cornwall, where we were in pretty rainy Padstow, our hotel had parking, which is a miracle in Padstow, but getting to where spaces were was something of a hazard. I drove slowly, carefully, and was rewarded with a spot that had space to open the doors on both sides and actually get out. However, the following day, leaving the car park was a trickier prospect. I planned on leaving down a small lane, but the route was blocked by a parked car and the bins from one of Rick Stein's restaurants. So the only way out was back up the narrow passageway, under part of the hotel, so walls on either side, and this time going uphill, not down. Now, I knew the car could pass, but getting through now meant approaching at an angle. No longer the straight down the hill and turn once you were clear of the obstacles. And sure enough, having cleared all the brickwork on the way in, I didn't on the way out. A terrible crunching, scraping sound, and something of an annoyance with the wall. I retreated to assess the damage, and another driver, who had been watching, attempted the same. But having seen the results of my actions, approached very slowly and with several small movements to ensure that the angles and the clearance for them was just right. Today in Matthew's Gospel, we are going to focus on three warnings that Jesus gives: a narrow and broad way, a good and a bad tree, a true and a false claim, between verses 13 and 23. When we hear these warnings from Matthew's Gospel, we are invited to take stock of our own lives, our own priorities, and to commit ourselves to walking in Jesus' way all our days. So do you have Matthew chapter 7 open? And here again, those opening words, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Notice how even this section of warnings begins with encouragement and not condemnation. There is the invitation to enter in, to find the road that leads to life. So there are two roads. But notice first that there are two gates. For wide is the gate, but small is the gate. We aren't told that the roads we choose will lead to a gate, but the gates lead to roads. The way to the kingdom, the kingdom fully realized, is to enter through faith in Jesus and walk a road that is hard, probably because of opposition and persecution, but which leads to life. Now, walking through the wide gate might look appealing. No restrictions, boasting in our own achievements, living well with a dash of compassion and charity for others for good measure. Compared with the narrow gate and road, this way looks like the M60 in rush hour. But the warning is clear. Jesus' way leads to life. The alternative is death and hell. Douglas Sean O'Donnell writes helpfully about how our world mostly accepts some kind of limits and narrowness to our lives, just not when it comes to Christianity. He gives the example of a school Spanish club, which is for those who want to learn or improve their Spanish. Or we might think about the dress code of a nice restaurant that we've saved up to visit. If you haven't got a jacket on, if you haven't got a tie on, you might not be allowed in. To adapt one of his examples, let's think about COVID. I've now got my COVID pass showing that I've been double jabbed, ready to go on holiday this week. We accept that this is what we have to do if we want to get on a plane. I wouldn't get a certificate if I'd had a polio vaccine to combat COVID. They wouldn't let me on the plane. There is a limit that is accepted. Christianity, Christian faith, is about Christ and his way. Jesus here doesn't give the option to say that all religions, all philosophies are basically the same, that they lead to God in the end, so don't really worry about it. Jesus says there are two gates and there are two roads. Rosaria Butterfield, in a book I'm reading at the moment called The Gospel Comes with a Key, writes of the temptation in the face of the surrounding culture to reinvent a Christianity that fits nicely on the coexist bumper sticker. I don't know whether you've ever seen one of these symbols that ticks up the symbols of all the different or many of the world religions and asks them to be the same, to coexist. Doesn't really matter which one. Avoiding the disgrace and shame of the cross for a respectable religion that bows to the idols of our day, consumerism and sexual autonomy. This manipulation strategy, she writes, relies on using biblical words in anti-biblical ways. It shares with biblical Christianity the same vocabulary, but not the same dictionary. John 14 contains these famous words of Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. Sounds quite good, doesn't it? And lots of people stop there. But Jesus goes on, no one comes to the Father except through me. This narrow gate, this gate is as wide as the arms of Jesus upon the cross. But it is that wide, and he invites us to enter in. If you've been seduced by or have sleepwalked towards the broad road, then hear Jesus' warning and discover the joy of walking with others through the gate that is as wide as his arms outstretched on the cross. There are two roads, two gates. And Jesus says there are two trees. The second warning is about those whom we listen to, the false prophets. There's much debate about who these people might have been in Matthew's day, but we see that there is a clear indication that they are not interested in the good of Jesus' disciples, rather they aim to destroy. Fruit from the tree tells you about the type of tree. We've learned that in the vicarage garden. The plum tree produces plums, the pear tree produces pears, and so on. You could see the start of the berries on the holly tree and try and convince yourself that they are grapes. But I think you would be disappointed with the wine they produced. Today, the false teachers may come dressed in flowing robes, in clerical collars, maybe the power suit of the TV evangelist, or the skinny jeans of the YouTube preacher. The words may come to us from an Instagram post, something we hear on the radio that sounds so reasonable, a new book, a blog post. Think about whose teaching you are listening to. What is their fruit? Are they faithful to the words of Jesus? Joe Capolio writes, such people proclaimed popular messages that were tailored to suit the tastes of the hearers, but were not the word of God. So we are warned about the way, we are warned about those whose voices we follow, and next, Jesus turns his attention to our hearts. Two hearts, in verse 21 and 20-23. Hearing these words of Jesus so close to the warning about the trees and fruit is a little disconcerting. Surely if the people in these verses have done things in Jesus' name, they are bearing fruit, aren't they? Aren't they good trees? Let's think about the way in which they approach Jesus. I wonder if you have a nickname. Perhaps you're called by something, by a particular group of friends. In my role, here, I sometimes get called vicar. Earlier this week, I had father from a funeral director, and from those who have sometimes served in the military, I'd get padre, although I usually respond by say, call me Matthew. Though throughout college, everyone called me mush. I'm not inviting you to start. And my brother and I call each other twig, which confuses those around us. Let's focus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, on how they, these people who have done great things, address Jesus. The repeated, Lord, Lord. The repetition is not accidental. There are a number of places in the Bible where a name is repeated. God's calling of Samuel. Do you remember as he was asleep? Samuel. Samuel, and he responds, Lord, here I am. When God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. When Jesus speaks to Martha about the rightness of taking time to listen to him rather than worrying about the tasks of the day. The repeated name brings intensity, intimacy with these encounters. And those who approach with Lord, Lord on their lips hold that they have this kind of relationship with God. They've been active. Perhaps they said, Lord, I was on the coffee rota. Look, I led a home group. I was part of the children's team. I sang in the choir. I gave money. But Jesus speaks devastating words to them. He says, I never knew you. He essentially says, you might have put on a good show, but you didn't love me. Jesus shares that the call to be his disciples is to do the will of the Father. What is that? To worship the Son, to love the Son, to enter through the narrow gate, to walk the road of obedience, to bear good fruit and truly love with heart and mind and soul. Not simply with our lips or our outward appearance or even the activities we do, but our hearts. What difference will these warnings from Matthew 7 make to us today? What will difference will they make in the coming week? Some questions to think about. Which gate have you chosen? And which road are you walking? Only one, the distinctive one, leads to life, the fullness of the kingdom. Perhaps you need to take time to explore your own faith. Whose voice
are you listening to? Are the things that you hear challenging you and encouraging you to become more like Jesus? And how is your heart? Do you truly love Jesus? Are you captivated by him or distracted by the trappings of religion and tradition? Let's be quiet for a moment before I pray for us. Jesus Christ, our brother, our friend, our Saviour. You are the gate and the road that leads to life. You are the true prophet who speaks to us words of comfort and hope. You are the true disciple who is obedient even unto death, that we might have life. We plead that you would plead to the Father to grant us more of the Holy Spirit, that we might follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.